This morning I'd like to continue with the theme of the hindrances, and particularly in terms of meditation. Well, not particularly, it sort of goes across the board, but we're, in terms of practice, living life in general, the hindrances are important to be attentive to and understand how they arise and how to deal with them. And particularly in meditation, that it has a really direct effect on the mind. When if you're sitting meditation and aversion comes up, or sensual desire comes up, sloth and torpor, or restlessness, or doubt arise, then the quality of clarity and peace is disturbed immediately. So that to direct attention to the presence or absence of these hindrances. In doing that, it's always important to establish your base first. That establishing the base in the mindfulness of breathing. Getting that very firm foundation in attention on the breath, and really settling into the rhythm of the breathing, and extending awareness through the whole body. And really awakening the body, awakening the mind with awareness and alertness, attention. Now, as there's this feeling of awakening, energizing, that is, it's part and parcel of awareness. That's one of the sort of inherent characteristics of awareness, mindfulness, is that it does stop the flow of the outgoing mind, the proliferating mind. So that using the breath, generating awareness and attention on the breath, moving attention and energy, mindfulness through the body, and adjusting to the rhythm of the breathing, so that awareness pervades the body and the mind. As the breath comes in, it's really pervading and sort of steeping the the body, the mind, in that quality of alertness and attention. As the breath goes out, to let that awareness and the attentiveness to the physical sensation of the breathing fill the body and fill the mind. And it's helpful, again, the sense of establishing a base. And the breath is the base, the body is the base. And that, what comes to mind is that when the Buddha talks of the, the developing of the four jhanas, He uses the images that he uses are grounded in the body, the bodily experience. that and I haven't read it for quite a while, but the phrase of fills, drenches, steeps, and pervades his body with the first jhana, say the bliss of the of solitude. Second jhana is the bliss of concentration, that's it's using the body as the basis to be filling, drenching, steeping, and pervading. So that the body and the mind are working together. So that starting from the very beginning is just the first touch of the breath at the tip of the nose to fill that field of awareness, to pervade it with that sense of attention. Presence, being very present, being very aware of the breath, the sensation, both bringing that attention into the body as the breath comes in, as the air fills the lungs, the abdomen, the diaphragm moves, the abdomen rises, just filling the body. I mean, you're literally filling the body with air so that it is able to survive. And then breathing out and sort of allowing that to expel and regenerate itself. In the same way that, we need to fill our minds, our hearts with awareness and attention. In order to survive as spiritual beings. If we don't return to that foundation, that base of awareness and quality of knowing clearly, then we lose our base, we lose our foundation. So that using the breath, using the body as the vehicle, the means for extending awareness and creating that presence, being present for the experience of the breath. And as we do that, then of course that's you've got something concrete to kind of hang awareness on. It's so easy for mindfulness to drift, or mindfulness to wander, and the tendency, of course, is to be going out to, whether it's going out to sensual desire, going out to something pleasurable, delightful, interesting. That sense of seeking an object, that then is one's getting the stimulation from that external object, some sense, the sort of the hit of sensual delight in some way, the pleasure, and that. And we find ourselves in that situation of over and over again of seeking the pleasant, because that's the more apparent way out of suffering. That's the more apparent way out of boredom. That's the more apparent way out of our. And of the sense of lassitude, it's so easy to sometimes either be sink into, either be, you know, fed up, bored, have a this sense of lassitude of mind where it's not, just don't want to put the energy out, and it's looking to sensuality, to, you know, to do something, to be, get involved in something, to feel alive. And that's where the, you know, we have to really bring the breath to mind, to bring the attention to the body, to the breathing, to the awareness within, so that we're not, you know, sort of seeking our justification for existence in sensual objects, because that is a we tend, it's a dead end. It doesn't ever really satisfy. You know, it is gratifying and exciting and you know, it's pleasurable, but, you know, satisfaction is a different thing. And for the mind to feel satisfied, to feel content within itself, to actually feel happy within itself, and that's the to not be overwhelmed by suffering, even in the most sort of subtle shades of suffering, discontent, dissatisfaction, and, you know, realizing that that's the, you know, that's what the Buddha is pointing to, that we can come to a place, an abiding in non-suffering. So to be taking that, say, choosing that option on each in-breath and each out-breath, challenging oneself, encouraging oneself, you know, giving the opportunity to oneself to experience that. I think that sense of, you know, really, you know, creating a question in the mind, or a challenge in the mind. Can I just pay attention to this in breath and this out breath? And really giving oneself that opportunity, giving oneself that challenge. Again, it's so easy to drift. So that's, and then one's doing that, one's renewing the practice each moment, rather than you know, waiting for the results to come, waiting for the sort of the crescendo, the peak experience. It's just really, again, that is your laying that foundation. And the attentiveness to recognizing when irritation, ill will, starts to set in. Because it's, we can recognize it oftentimes when it's you know, we're starting to go off on a rant against something, somebody, just agitates the mind with sort of aversion. But, you know, to, particularly as meditators, to really start to attend to the qualities of you know, just the irritations and dislikes, things that one shrinks away from, and doesn't want to deal with. I don't like this. I don't want it. I don't, shouldn't be this way. Why does it have to bother me like this? And, you know, those sort of things, tend to nag away at the mind. So to be quick on the uptake and recognize when that kind of mental state starts to afflict the mind. I love the way the Tibetans translate that we tend to call defilement. The Tibetans translate it as afflictions. It's a great translation of the, you know, the kileshas, and you know, in particular the aversion, ill will, hindrance is an affliction. And we are afflicting ourselves, pain, and we feel afflicted when it's present. You know, in the same way that we would never sort of just, you know, walk into the kitchen, turn the stove on, and put our hand over on the fire, or take a knife out of the drawer and start sort of poking holes in our arm. I mean, it just, you know, we wouldn't do that. You know, that's an affliction. We're afflicting pain and injury on ourselves. But the harboring of ill will, the harboring of aversion, the feeding anger, it's an affliction. We're torturing ourselves. So that to, you know, recognize when that cloud starts to roll in of aversion, and see that in terms of a meditator, you know, what does that do to the body? This is one of the things where it's really helpful to, you know, using the body as an anchor, and that sense of, you know, filling, drenching, steeping, pervading the body with awareness and the feeling of a fullness of attention, because that it's very relaxing on the body, and it's just it's extraordinarily difficult to keep ill will going if you're actually physically relaxed. I mean, notice, pay attention to what happens when there's irritation or aversion, ill will arises. I mean, there's always some sort of tightening, tensing. It's the natural response to aversion, and, you know, and because we're, you know, say it's the feeling is one of justification, or one is buying into the aversion, then we lock into the mental feeling of aversion and ill will, and neglect to recognize that physically we're afflicted as well. And then there's this tenseness, tightness. There's the knot of ill will in the body in different places. So that too, returning to that quality of awareness, and really pervading the breath with this feeling of attention and awareness, and a natural relaxing and deepening of that attention, so that it pervades the body and relaxes it and settles it. And it's very easy to dispel ill will in that way. It's very difficult to hold on to ill will in that way. So to, you know, using the mindfulness of breathing to work through those qualities of aversion, that ill will that come up as a hindrance. Sloth and torpor. When the mind starts to settle, things start to quiet down a little bit. It's not always a good thing, because, in the sense that if one doesn't sustain the attention, if one doesn't apply effort, then it very quickly shifts into dullness very easily. Dullness, sloth, torpor, lassitude of mind, and if the mind is not taking interest, and that particularly that quality of filling, steeping, pervading the body with the awareness of the breath. It really helps to dispel that lassitude of mind, that sinking of the mind that goes down into dullness. And when it goes into dullness, and the mind loses its brightness. So that to take awareness and using attention to not just to focus and hold on the breath, but to allow that awareness to move, flowing into the body with the breath, the sensation of the breath, paying attention to the subtleties of sensation, subtleties of what does it feel like in different places of the body, and that moving of awareness around the body, so that the body is energized and therefore the mind becomes energized. And it's when the mind and the body are energized in that way that it can settle in a way that's very stable, without slipping into sloth and torpor. So that we tend to want to skip the hard work of things and we just want to experience the fruits of meditation. Remember one time when there's a group of people are asking Ajahn Jamnian about jhana, and they were expecting to get detailed instructions on jhana from Ajahn Jamnian, and he gave detailed discussion on various things, but not much on the how-to aspect, except for he very quickly said that you have to be ready to die, and you have to be really ready to just stick with what you're doing, and he said that, and then the mind easily goes into jhana. And that's exactly in terms of so like sloth and torpor. It's like, I'm bored of this.